We have racking and stacking Wesley. What's going on?
Oh, I can't believe that we're doing another three. Last time that we did three, our guest today got our wires crossed, and we ended up only having to do two. But today is probably going to be a three, and man, we're ready to rack and stack.
We are. We are. We got three great ones today, and as I put a post just a little while ago out, this is what hybriding's all about, man. You know, the old school meets new school, and doing these kind of things, and that's what's really fun about Leanne, and people are going to love Leanne. Is she's she's one of us. She's a sales guru, but she's a host of a podcast called Love Your Sales. We'll talk about that when we get her on. But I always love. We've talked about this, Wes. We love all our guests. We've had such a myriad of great guests across the board. But man, I love getting into and having good old sales talks with good sales pros. You know, it's always fun.
Especially somebody that loves what they do and does what they love, you know. So, you know, we're all about that. I mean, at the end of every show. So having a Love Your Sales podcast is amazing.
It almost can't get any better. The only thing that could get better is if we stop talking and maybe go get Leanne, what do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Let's do it. All right. But it is great to see you, though.
Great to see you. Great to be seen and not viewed. That's what Les Brown says.
This is true. I like it.
All right, brother.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Leanne, it's lovely to see you. You see, I worked on that for a week.
Awesome job. It's absolutely great to see you as well.
It is. It's great. Well, so Leanne Lovely, the host of Love Your Sales. I love that title. I love your sales. I just love that because, as Wes just said, it's one of the taglines I use all the time. Wes uses love what you do and do what you love, right? And I love that title. Yep. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. And I love that, you know, love what you do. You'll never work a day in your life, right?
Exactly. Even the tougher days, and we all have those, it's easier when you love what you do and do what you love to remind yourself that it's only 20 minutes of suck. It's not 20 days or 20 years or, you know, a lifetime, right? So even when you have those, because you never get out of it free, right? There's always going to be those moments or days or, I mean, you might even have a week that just sucks, right? But that's all right. You know, there's better coming, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, owning my own business, I know I have to get through the horrible stuff like accounting and all of that other, mm-hmm. you know, horrible stuff that we have to do, right? Yep. But that allows me to do the things that I absolutely love to do, which is really get in the thick of it, of sales, cold calling, coaching, training. It's absolutely what I love to do. I made that shift. Because it's exciting, it's different, it's new every day, and I love the study of people.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, I've got down. You know, I know you're a founder and a consultant, and you got 20 years or plus in the customer relations world, and that's a bunch of time to kind of start figuring it out, right? So, I mean, I think that's amazing. And I've listened to your podcast several times. I love the content. I love your guests, and I love what you bring to the table. And so let's just get right into it. And tell us first, maybe your history. Who in the world is Leanne Lovely, and how did you get started in this whole world of sales? And how did you get into podcasting? And what's that bring to the table for your clients and that kind of thing? Let's go wherever you want to go, but let's just talk some sales stuff.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is I grew up in a sales family, but my initial, you know, thought was, hey, I want to go into HR. My initial thought was I was going to go into computer programming, and then really fell into the HR world, which was the study of people, which was helping people. Mm-hmm. And as my career bloomed into that industry, I started to realize that it wasn't fulfilling me in the way that I wanted to be fulfilled. And I finally shifted, it wasn't quite that easy. Who's going to hire an HR person to be a salesperson?
Right.
You know, so, and many of the people who have followed me, listened to me, they hear me, have heard me say, I came home one day and I said to my boyfriend, now husband, hey, I'm going to become a salesperson. And he went, yeah, right. Right. Okay. And I went, no, I'm going to do that. And he's like, how are you going to do that? And I'm like, I don't know.
No idea.
Right. I don't know. But lo and behold, I started selling makeup at Sam's Club and cleaning products and all of the different stuff that, you know, people walk up to you when you walk into a Costco or a Sam's Club, mm-hmm. or one of the, you know, the big box stores that, and, it was only a couple of months in when I was approached by the owner of another company and said, hey, you should come and work for me. I need somebody with your tenacity, with your, you know, spark. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll look into it, you know? And so I did. I interviewed with them. They offered me an opportunity to sell SaaS solutions, but into the HR world. Hmm. And that's wow. really where I cut my teeth, and I loved it. I loved that I got, nobody ever told me that the bad part of the, or the hard part of the job was cold calling. I just thought that that was like the fun thing. Mm-hmm. And so I made a game out of it. It was, you know, how many, and this is, I was trained like, you know, get through your no's so that you can find your yes. And so that's yep. the way that I started was, okay, how many calls do I have to make today to find the person who's going to say, yes, come in and talk to me. And so every day I hit the phones. I hit them hard, as many calls as I could possibly make in a day so that I could set that next appointment. And trust me, the first time I went on a sales call, it was horrific.
They all are, right? I mean, it's like the worst ever. I don't ever want to do this again.
I started talking and it came out, you know, high-pitched and it like an fast speed. But, you know, I just kept pushing forward and I loved it. So, you know, now 10 plus years forward, I just, you know, I've gravitated towards successful people so that I could level up and never look back. And so now a year and a half in, I'm running my own business and I love it.
That's awesome. You know, and it's awesome that you took that first, you know, you're 2 months in, I think you said it at Costco, not really the experienced sales pro yet. Right. And, but you took that gamble, you know, somebody's willing to take the gamble on you. And I think that's one of the real keys of a true sales professional or somebody that becomes one or has become one or may become one is they go fight the fight even when they're scared and don't know what they're doing. It's like, mm-hmm. I have no clue. I don't know how many products, if you will, in the past that I go, yeah, I'll sell that. I have no idea what it is yet. I don't even know what to do with it, but I think there's an opportunity here. So yeah, I'll do that. And then you dive in and then you figure out on the run what you don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a little bit of that people that aren't deep enough into the world of sales or thinking about sales or the coaching part like you are, they misconstrue this, the concept of failure way to success, right? Mm-hmm. And they think, why would you want to fail? Nobody wants to fail, but you're going to fail. So the sooner you get there, the better off you are, right?
Right, right. And one of my episodes, Fail Forward, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is Denzel Washington, Fail Forward. And you don't learn anything by not doing anything.
Right.
If you just sit stagnant and hope is not a strategy. I'm pulling out all of the lines that from, you know, my community, my network, but the only way that we grow is by experience. Now we hope that through others' experience, we don't like fail in a major way, that we learn from other people's failures as well. But there are the little failures that we have to experience, that we have to, in order to grow as human beings, in order to grow as professionals, that we have to, you know, go through the motions. We have to experience ourselves to go, okay, maybe if I tweak it a little bit like this, it'll work a little bit better. And that's how we become great, is by pushing through the pain sometimes, because sometimes the failures are painful and you're like, oh my God, I had this in the bag. Mm-hmm. And then, oh God, what did I do? Like, how I just said something that killed this deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's the worst, right? It's like,
right.
It's like that little bubble that popped out on the cartoons and you wish you could bring it back, but it's already there. It's already there. And you know, it's probably disastrous, right?
Right. Absolutely. But you know, it's navigating the world. And here's the other thing is that when I was in college, nobody ever said, hey, here's a great career for you. You should be a salesperson. They don't offer that as a career. You know, it's, oh, you can get a business degree and become an analyst, or you can become, nobody ever said, hey, you've got this personality that you could be really great in sales.
Right.
Like, why not?
That's how I was going to ask you. Why not? Why don't we do that in college or earlier?
Hey, this is the question I've been wondering. But it's, and I think some of it goes back to, you know, the whole, oh, it's a sleazy salesperson. It goes back to this whole mentality that salespeople, you know, are connected to this old idea of who or what they used to be. Mm-hmm. What we don't understand, and what I have come to understand through, you know, years, is that everybody sells.
Right on.
Selling is the lifeblood of every organization. Nothing happens if sales are not happening.
Right.
That's it. If your company, if you start a company and you never sell anything, your company doesn't exist.
Exactly. Well,
plain.
It is simple. And you know, even taking it a step further than that, Leanne, I think when you talk about everybody sells, I don't care what, if you're, pick two, if you're younger and in the dating game, you don't think you're selling, right? I mean, you are selling the fact that you would be better served to be with me than this other guy, right? Or girl, whatever the case may be. If you're a, if you're a pastor of a church, are you not selling the flock, if you will, on the benefits of coming to church, or the benefits of being involved in our church, or the things we have? If you're hiring for, last one, if you're hiring for any position in your business, it has nothing to do with sales. You're still selling that person on being the forklift driver at your company versus another company, right? So it's nonstop selling. Asking, getting your kids to do what you want them to do. There is the dictatorship way, but the sales way probably works better to get them to understand this would be in your benefit to do it this way. And it could be one of two things, because it's better for you and you accept that, or secondarily, I'm going to whoop you side the head if you don't. But either way, it's a sales job, right?
Correct. And going back to the dictatorship way, let me pose this. Would you rather work at a company that is a dictatorship company, where everybody just says, you have to do this? Or would you rather work at a company that explains and then gives you the option of, you can do this or you cannot, or, you know, then you can choose to go and work somebody, you know, somewhere else. This is the way that we're going to do it. There are lines, you know, here's mm-hmm. the box in which you are, you know, can work within, or would, you know, and give options, or just say, hey, it has to be done this way, my way, or the highway.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to work at that company.
No, that's not a long-term thing for sure.
Correct. You know, dictatorship does not work. It just doesn't. If you're creating, you know, that basically that negotiating tactic, that, you know, allowing for certain levels of, I'm losing the word here, but look at, you know, allowing and negotiating with those individuals, your child. I explained to my child, you need to brush your teeth. Here's why you need to brush your teeth. Once we've done that, then you can do this. But if I just scream to her, go brush your teeth, she's like, no,
yeah,
I don't want to.
Right.
You know, people don't like to be told what to do. People like to understand why they're doing what they're doing and what the outcome is going to be. It's plain and simple. That is sales. That's a sales tactic. People right. don't like to be sold to. But if you explain the benefit as to why they're buying it, what the outcome is going to be, and what their ROI is, they're going to go, oh, okay, that makes sense.
You, I'm glad you hit on that, because when you said that, that was exactly what I was thinking. Nobody likes to be sold, but boy, we right. do like to buy, whether it's because of want or need, and they're equally strong, right? But don't the biggest turnoff in the world, right, as a buyer, is when you realize a salesperson's trying to sell you. Of course you realize they want to sell you this car. I got that. Right. But why would I be at that car dealership if I wasn't looking to buy a car? Right. It's just that I want you to help me and assist me as the professional into getting myself into the right car for my needs and wants, right? And that's mm-hmm. a difference than selling. I'm assisting you in buying, right? And I think that's a huge difference that salespeople, some never get, but especially younger ones, think it's all about that selling. I got to be that hard selling, run over you regardless of what it is you want or need. It's what I want. And guess what? I found after a period of years, I've been in sales 4+ decades. And when I stopped selling people is when I started selling people, right?
Right.
Pretty amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
You know, as a young salesperson, you're constantly like, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me. When I started going, how can I help you?
Right.
All of a sudden, people are like, I want to buy from you.
Right. Exactly.
Like, wait, huh? Yeah. Well, okay. Let's talk.
Right. You know, it's funny, Leah, because that made me think about a scenario I had once where a company that I'm no longer associated with, even though I still won't say names, but they wanted us to read this sales book and do book reports with each other, which, okay, whatever. But, and it was like, we've all heard the 8 steps, the 10 steps, the 12 steps, the 9,000 steps, whatever. And I think all those things have valid and good for certain places and certain points. But it was like, I remember I got not in trouble, but well, if at step 8, the customer says, Randy, I'm a little lacking on time and what everything I've seen, could we just go ahead and put an order together? I'm probably not going to say, but Leanne, I've got step 9, 10, 11, and 12, plus I got to do this big close. So could you give me 15, 20 more minutes? Right. But some people actually, so I think that's that learning process of there's so much information out there. But we have to bring that back to each and every customer we're dealing with, right? And it go from 1 to 10 if that's where they want to go. I mean, literally, if you walk in and say, look, I've already researched everything you have, Randy. The only thing I'm left with is a price within range, because if it is, I'm buying from you. Well, here's my number. Is that the best you can do? It really is. Okay, let's do an order. If that's really where you want to go, I've got to be an absolute idiot if I want to go through these other steps that I've taught myself or learned over the years, right?
Right. Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting because the more seasoned a salesperson becomes, the more they're capable of shifting with that.
Right.
The younger, and that's something that comes with, obviously, with time, with being able to, the younger, you know, the earlier you are in your career, the more difficult it is to shift with those changes in that process, because you know younger salespeople coming in, they're told like you need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, all of these steps, right? And they get so hung up on like, wow, okay, I got to do this. That some of those buying signs are missed mm-hmm. because they're so focused on, yeah, but I got to make sure I check this box. That's why as time goes by, and when you help train somebody in not only the listening skills of what are you hearing, but what are you visually seeing? from your prospect? Like, are you seeing them, are their eyes glazing over as you're going through this entire process? You know, sometimes you have to teach them to, you know, you gotta watch the room. Like, if they're getting bored, you need to step back and go, okay, what information do you want from me right now? Because sometimes they're already sold and you're still trying to sell them.
Right.
Sometimes they've checked out and you're like, okay, where did I lose them? But to your point, the more seasoned you become, or the more hypersensitive you become to people, and that's where it really clicked with me, where I started watching the room, and it's more difficult the more people who are in the room. Some people struggle when all of a sudden you have four people in the room and you're like, wait, who am I selling to? Well, you're selling to the room, but you have to pay attention to all of the signs that are happening in the room. And you got to figure out who's actually the one who's going to sign on that contract.
Right.
But, you know, for the younger salespeople, they have to be able to shift with that. And that's one of the hardest things. It was the hardest thing for me. Like, oh, wait, they're already ready to sign and I'm still selling. Like, you got to stop. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, reevaluate and go, okay, is there anything else that I need to show you at this point before you're ready to move forward? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, they're already sold and I'm still selling.
Right, right. It's almost as simple as, they may not say it that way, but yeah, I was just waiting until you'd like stop so I could like tell you I want an order.
Right.
That's really, I want to go to lunch. That's what I'd really like to do, right? Is give you an order. If you don't mind, if you got a minute.
Right. Hey. We're done. Yeah. Just give me the contract.
Exactly. But you know, to your point a minute ago, if we ask enough questions and actually listen and stop being this walking infomercial that too many salespeople want to be. They want to expound upon all their knowledge and all this stuff and all these features and bennies and the dog and pony show. You pick a name, right? Because I want to show you how smart I am. And you, as the potential customer, may want to know all that, or you may not want to know much of that at all. Because see, where we forget, I think, until you become a seasoned sales professional, is it has nothing to do with me as the salesman. It has everything to do with you as the buyer. So let's get this onto your terms, and let's get down to doing whatever it takes to earn the opportunity for you to entrust your signature on this contract or to swipe that credit, whatever the case may be, right? But I think so many salespeople at all levels still want to be this walking, talking infomercial. And it's like, stop, look at me, look at everything I know, the star of the room. But I want to show you all these features and benefits. Yeah, but I'm already sold. I don't want to see them again, right? So I think that's a huge thing.
Well, and it's funny because the key personality of most salespeople, and I'll say most, not all, because there are plenty of successful salespeople that are introverts and have mm-hmm. taught themselves to be wildly successful salespeople. So when I say most salespeople are extroverts, there are many exceptions to the rule. So the key personalities of most salespeople are extroverts
right.
and talkers. Which is really funny because in order to be successful, you have to learn to shut up and listen and really see what's happening in front of you, especially if you are in the room with somebody, and especially if you are doing, and because now in the virtual world, we are doing more and more calls that are on Zoom, and you have to be able to still read their face. And in some cases, right. really listen to the fluctuation of their voice if you're not seeing their face. Because nowadays, some people prefer not to have a camera, and which is seems like it's counterproductive here, because the personality trait of a salesperson is, I want to be the center of attention. I want people to know how smart I am about my product.
Right.
But that's one of the key traits, because they have to be comfortable and confident to be out in the world making relationships in order to push them, you know, themselves forward. Right.
Right.
So it's a funny balance for those really successful people to have and teach themselves how to. And one of the things that really helped me to learn how to do that is when I was in the recruiting world, I used to close my eyes when I was interviewing people, and I would really listen to what they were saying. And I would, you know, type while I had my eyes closed and type all my notes up to listen to how they were answering the questions. And that's how I really started to hone in on listening to what they were saying, not just listen, but truly hear. Mm. And it makes all the difference. And obviously you can't sit in a meeting with your eyes closed,
Yeah, you might look a little boring, which they probably don't love boring salesmen either, right? Excuse me, I'm just going to take a nap while you're talking, Mr. Prospect.
Right.
not a good move, probably.
No, not a good move.
So, you, I love your solution selling. We sort of touched on it, but aren't we always selling solutions as opposed to just a thing? I mean, there's some things that are sold. I get that. But on anything that's more than the super basics, at least, if it's any kind of dollar amount or any kind of a life-changing product especially, aren't we really selling solutions more than a product or a service? I mean, because there's a million other people that have a widget like I have that does somewhat the same thing that my widget does. I can give you, again, back to the features and bennies, right? I can give you all the little technical things why I think my little widget's better than their widget. But doesn't solutions at the end of the day, all things being somewhat equal, i.e. the quality's not that far apart, right? You're not Volkswagen, or you're not a Chevy Chevette to a Rolls Royce, right? I mean, as long as they're somewhere in the same caliber of quality, isn't it come back more to the solution that we as sales pros bring to the table than just, again, that infomercial of features and benefits, which really do nothing if it doesn't solve the problem? Is that's where I think solution selling is so important, right?
Absolutely. You know, early on in my career, one of my great mentors said to me, if you're selling on price, you die on price.
Yes.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, if somebody is nickeling and diming the price point, that really is what it comes down to for them. Mm-hmm. And they will eventually leave on price. Right. And that really, really resonated with me. And I'm like, oh, I could all day long go and come down on price and come down on price, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day if you are not providing the value of your service, the solution that you're providing to them, and really making them understand why your solution, why what your product or service is going to provide that is different from that of the competition. Because once you finally get in the door and they understand why your product or service has the value that is going to make a difference for them and ultimately give them the ROI, the price should not matter. Now, understand that's within reason.
Right. Right.
You know, if you're $5,000 a month above their, you know, your competitor, you probably should be looking at your price here.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, offering something that's way above and beyond. But that's really what it comes down to. People need to understand the value, the solution that they're getting in order to be a true, you know, customer. If they're just comparing you price point wise, they're going to continue to jump to the cheapest and they're not going to continue to stay with you as a long term. And in my opinion, that's not the client you want. You want a client who has a true relationship with you, that you are offering a true solution that's going to solve the problem.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. It comes down to what problem are you solving and how are you solving that, that at the end of the day, they're going to go, wow, this is awesome.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, and I was thinking when you was talking about that dreaded T word in the world of sales is transactional, right? Correct. Once it goes transactional, you lose. You're going to lose. Just like you said, and it's every time it's happened, and it hasn't been often, but in that I can think of, at least in my sales world, when I happen to be right guy, right place, walked in, just happened to have the right number today, and they give you an order right now. That's exciting, but it also is short term. You know, it's short term,
right?
Because that's only today, maybe next week, maybe even next year, but that's only until another guy, knucklehead like me, walks in the door and offers them a better price.
Right.
And then they're going to, all of a sudden, they bought three orders from them before I even realized it. Right. Mm-hmm. So we want it. And the only way to stay away from that, everything being a transaction, is, like you said, to build the relationships and to where you build that trust and to be that, you know, something we use all the time, but the trusted advisor, right? That is an important key word. And to be that solution-based salesperson, then all of a sudden they can't. Widget A and widget B might be real close to the same, but person A and person B may be universes apart, right?
Right.
And or company A and company B and their philosophy and their mission and what they're out to do may be worlds apart. They still may make the same little widget that's sort of kind of the same, but where do you want to be for 6%?
Right.
That's the key, right?
People don't buy products, they buy people.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. They're buying the sales. It sounds weird, but they're buying the relationship with that salesperson.
Sure they are.
You know, that's what it comes down to, is that when you truly, and referrals are the greatest thing in the world, because now you're being introduced from somebody who trusts you to another person whom they trust, and they're going, okay, so now there's already that embedded, you know, kind of trust built in, and they're going, all right. And you can't do that through transactional relationships.
No, it
just doesn't happen, because the trust was never built up to begin with, as to what you just said. You happen to be in the right place at the right time.
Right. In that particular case, trust doesn't matter anyway to that customer. It's all price at that point,
correct,
right? So that's almost I'm not saying you don't take the sale and run, I guess, and come back as long as they want you, I suppose. But
right.
But you got to understand that one is not going to be long-term, because if that's the only thing they want, and the trust and the relationship to them just doesn't matter. And it's,
right,
you can work at that, but that may be one of those customer types, personality types, that doesn't want, doesn't need, doesn't see any value of that at all. You're probably not going to win that game. So that's that failure way to success. Take the business if they want to give it to you. Give them the proper service they deserve by giving you the business. I'm not saying you shortcut them.
No.
But spend your time on some people that want to build that relationship, right?
Right. And you can always try to backdoor your way into that relationship. But if they're not willing to give it to you, you're right. You give them the service and expect that there is a possibility that one day they are no longer going to be your customer, and that, hey, it was a great ride. Now it's time to move on.
And move on. Exactly. So you've been very kind with your time. But I did want to touch on one thing. I don't want to say quickly, but because it's, I think, of really something that you and I both believe in and love, is the value of social and virtual in what we do in today's world. Because we're obviously B2B or C2B. Whatever we are, customer to C to C, B to B, whatever we are, still people to people at the end of the day, right? And
yep.
But it's such a force multiplier to be able to augment your in-person relationship building across from a coffee and a donut or a pizza pie at lunch or a burger and a brewski in the evening. By far the best, right? Mm-hmm. But how do we use, or the value of using social and virtual to augment that, to me, is so huge in today's world. And you and I take advantage of it. That's why we're on this show today doing this, right? But how do we maybe take the last couple, 3-4 minutes or whatever you'd like, and talk to us about why that's important and why that makes sense in today's world, if you would.
Yeah, this is wildly important. And it's different for each and every industry, and where you choose to spend, or where you should, where you should spend the most or the bulk of your time. But it's wildly important that you spread your time between the cold calling, the in-person networking, and then the virtual footprint that you put out there. And here's, it really all comes together in my true belief. Well, it's, personally, I should say it's a fact, but some people would argue, you as a salesperson, if you truly want to be one of, you know, level up from being a good salesperson to a great salesperson, is that you have to personally brand yourself. Right. And in order to do that, you have to utilize all those different ways of doing it. So that cold calling to in-person networking, where you're at a networking event, setting up those one-on-ones, to then being on social, where it be LinkedIn, Facebook, it, and I can't tell you which one because it depends on your industry, right. Depends on where your industry hangs out. Do they hang out on Facebook? Do they hang out on Twitter? Do they hang out on LinkedIn? You have to spend a certain amount of time branding yourself so that people recognize you. And it's wildly, wildly important to do all of those three if you really, really want to level up. It creates, you know, really sets you apart from the competition, creates brand awareness. And when I'm not talking about your company, I'm talking right. about you personally as being an expert at what you do. We're no longer living in a world where you walk in and you say, hi, I work for XYZ company and my name is Leanne Lovely. No, I'm Leanne Lovely. And I am an expert at XYZ.
Boom. Love that.
I get so passionate about that. We have to be unique as individuals if we want to be recognized as experts at what we do. And yes, I utilize, you know, a podcast, great way to get out really hyper focused content if that's the direction that you want to go. Oh, you know, I utilize a variety of platforms. You would probably think I'm insane if I told you how many, but it's part of my branding. And I talk to people like, only do as many as you can handle, because it's pointless to have an account out there that's doing nothing.
Right.
It's absolutely pointless, but you want to nurture those different platforms in order to, so the people can see that if you're selling lumber, great. Talk about lumber. Talk about what's happening in the world of pricing. We just went through this huge spike and how lumber was, and then it came down. Talk about that kind of stuff to make yourself an expert in your product. That is what's going to set you apart, so that when somebody Googles you, and your clients will, they will look you up. They will look you up on LinkedIn or Facebook. That is what's going to set you apart from your competition. They're going to go, wow, she really knows, or he really knows his product.
Right.
Getting in my soapbox.
No, that's okay. And it's a soapbox that I apologize. We didn't get to a little sooner, because we could do a whole podcast just on that. Right. I mean, right. That's the first thing that drew me to you and to watch your show, Leanne, and to get to know you on LinkedIn and wherever else, was that belief in being your own personal brand ambassador. You know, yeah. you got to look at it as, in my case, I have a rep agency that I never tell anybody the name. I mean, I do, but I don't say, like you said, I don't say I'm Randy with Social and Marketing and I represent this person. I want it to be, I'm Randy, and in the post frame and metal roofing world, I am your guy, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you want to market, right? That's where you want to get to where that you are that trusted advisor. You are that expert. You are that person that I just want to deal with this lady, because they know what they're doing and they're going to take care of us. And that's, you're so right. It's such a huge, huge opportunity. Beyond just showing up and saying, hey, I got a couple of catalogs here and a sample or two, and we're running a special if you might be interested. Who cares? I mean, right? Okay. I mean, to a large degree, who cares? Let's get back to the other first. So, well, Leanne, it's awesome. And just in the name of time, and you've been very generous with your time, I appreciate it. Wes always reminds me this, should ask questions, because I sometimes forget and he makes sure I don't. If we get lunch together, he actually reminds me that I didn't order dessert, so, which is very nice of him. But what did we miss today as we wind down? He steals it too, so I will say that. But as we wind down, Leanne, and again, thank you. What did we miss? Did we miss anything that you're just going, geez, I wish Randy would shut up and ask me this?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that we had a really great conversation. I hope that your audience found, you know, a gold nugget of information there.
Many.
Yeah, I hope. That's the point, is that, you know, people find some good information that they can turn around and use. I'll leave it at that. Perfect. But I really, really appreciate your time and having me on.
Absolutely. So Love Your Sales is where they can find you. Tell us where to find you. I guess that'd be the better way rather than my blabbering about it.
You can absolutely find me on LinkedIn. I'm there. My website is loveyoursales.com. You can reach out to me there. I'm on TikTok, all the socials. Then, of course, my podcast is Love Your Sales. It's on YouTube and all of the main podcast places.
And I'll say it's very, very good. I've caught several of them since I first met you virtually, and then of course in prepping to just do this conversation today. And it's great. I highly recommend your show to anybody that's in sales, thinking about being sales, which is again everybody. We've already established that.
Right.
So yeah. So it's for everybody. The show for everybody.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, Leanne, thank you again. I appreciate your time, and keep being amazing.
Thank you so very much. This has been awesome.
It's been fun. All right. Cheers. Thank you. What do you think of that? So I told you, talking to a fellow sales pro and somebody that gets it and gets the idea of taking us out of transaction and taking us into that solution-based relationship building. You've heard me talk about it a million times. Nobody said it better than Leanne did today. Love the conversation. About being your own personal brand ambassador. That's something else that we talk about often. And you just cannot put enough energy into that. Find the time to be your own brand ambassador. It's really important. Ambassador for your products, for your company, for who you work for, whatever the case may be, but you got to be your own as well. So that's it for today. As always, I appreciate you being here. And remember, love what you do and do what you love. That's what I'm doing right now. You only get one go around, so live it, love it, own it. And while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.